Good morning. Thank you, choir. Thank you for reading the word to us this morning. My name is Andrew Palau, and it's an honor for me to be with you this morning. And I was so looking forward to seeing Dr. Eisnogel again and hearing from him, but it's just a great privilege for me to have this time to share with you. I am the third of four boys to Luis and Pat Palau. And my beautiful wife, Wendy, and my two boys, they're not here in this service. They'll be at the next service, but I brought pictures, so you got to come and see. I take them with me everywhere. My beautiful wife, Wendy, and my boys, we moved here almost 2 years ago now in service of over 660 churches who have come together to put on something that's called the DC Festival. And today, I'd like to discuss that along the way, and there's a sort of a flyer in your pew in front of you. And along the way, if you could grab that and have it handy, I'll draw your attention to that as we go along. But the DC Festival is a unified, area-wide evangelistic outreach. And it will be on the National Mall, as you see it says right there, on October 8th and 9th. That's Columbus Day weekend. And put that on your calendar now, because summer is here, but as you know, it'll be gone soon enough, and it'll be October before you know it, and I know how calendars go in this city. So put it on your calendar, and don't forget those 2 days, and even the weeks beforehand. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the things that are happening there. But the festival is really being presented as an opportunity to come together from various denominational and racial groups and geographically coming together to lift high the name of Jesus Christ and His Word, and under God, to win as many people as possible to Jesus Christ. And that's the whole intention. There's so many great things that happen along the way, and you'll recognize those as I go through some of this information. But really, that is the focus of what we're talking about, is introducing people to Jesus Christ. And we want you to be a part and join in with this work. And I know that today was the strategic Sunday that your leadership had chosen to launch the festival officially. And every one of the participating churches is doing that somewhere along the way, utilizing this tool, because it sort of holds the foundational, the basic principles of the festival are in here. But what we're hopeful for is that you would understand what the festival is. And as you find out more and more about what it is, that you would grow in your excitement about it. And as you get excited, say, that's really great, but what do I do? And we wanted to really lay out for you what we're asking every one of God's people to do in preparation for the festival coming. And we'd love for you to make a commitment and to take advantage of this tool, this personal tool created for you for the days ahead. So we'll do that. And by God's grace, we will launch the festival officially here today. But I know that's not all that Pastor had in mind. And as Hunter and I and Pastor were discussing the message of the day, he had shared with me, thankfully, on Friday, he shared with me that at least that he was going to be speaking out of Genesis 18. So I'd begun to read that and just refresh my memory of that passage that we read. And I didn't bring a strong study, but there are good parallels with what I would like to share with you. And in particular, one thought that struck me right away, and that is that I was challenged in reading about Sarah and Abraham and God speaking to them, that I really need to believe God. And I think that's a great challenge just for us today, that we would just really believe God when He speaks, that we would trust Him. And in this passage just previous, in chapter 17, God had revealed, I think, His third major covenant, and that was with Abraham as the patriarchal leader of his people and his household. God pledged to be Abraham's God and to be the God of his descendants. And I'm sure for Abraham and Sarah at that time, they were thinking, well, there may be a possibility of this through Ishmael. If you remember, Ishmael was there. But God clarified that he was speaking about the descendants of Sarah, because Sarah would have a child, and it seemed crazy. But the condition of this covenant was a total consecration to the Lord, as evidenced through circumcision. And
And that was Abram had been faithful to that indication to the Lord with him and his whole household. And that is when somewhere shortly thereafter, these men come and Abraham welcomes them and speaks to them. And again, God shares the reality that at an appointed time, about a year from now, Sarah would have this child. And earlier, of course, Abraham had, I guess, fell on his face. It was that funny. He fell on his face. It was astounding to him. And he laughed. And Sarah laughed also. And I'm sure we've all pondered this over the years. Well, how come one laughs and the other laughs and one gets in trouble, if you will, and the other does not? Well, I think it's pretty self-evident that it was the intention of the heart. We look at the outward. God looks at the inward. And in what God saw in Abraham's laughing, I'd imagine, is just a joyous expectation of something incredible that just is almost laughable but exciting, and somehow he believed God. And Sarah's laughter evidenced somehow maybe perhaps a scoffing or a sense of in Sarah's heart to question God and say, doesn't God know what's going on here? And therein perhaps the difference, and most likely the difference. But what I wanted to draw out, and just to tie that message to my presentation, is that when God speaks, believe him. Really accept and believe, and go ahead and laugh, but laugh with a sense of expectation and joy, because with the DC Festival, we pray that we would see some miraculous things, some very unexpected and unlikely things in our minds, but the things that God really has heavily on his heart. And ask God to speak to you about your activity in sharing your faith. This is one great tool among many tools. It's not the way evangelism is done, obviously, but it's just one way amongst the many. And it has some wonderful features. I'll share those with you that may be useful for you as you think about all the people that God's put in your life and in your heart to share the good news with. We're hopeful that God would speak to you and that you would hear his voice in that. We're hopeful and prayerful that you would see God evidence himself as he does miracles and moves with power in the lives of people that are around you and in your own life in the process. And to believe God that he still is doing great miracles today in people's lives. And you can believe that. You can believe it. And as you look through this card, it's a great tool along the way to remind you. There's several parts, but we're throwing a party for the city, basically, if you kind of want to sum it up. God's people are coming together. They're throwing a party, not for ourselves, though. That's probably there are some good intentions in throwing a party and rejoicing, worshiping God in unison, expressing the reality of the unity of the bonds of Christ to the community. That's really wonderful, but we're throwing a party for the city. It's world class, so you can have great confidence in it. You can see October 8th and 9th on the National Mall. And this little phrase that is on most of our pieces that you'll see along the way says, great music and good news. And I think that's a wonderful summation of the festival, because great music encapsulates all the things in my mind that make it a festival, and all of those things being done for the proclamation of the good news. So as you think about the day from noon until 10 at night on Saturday and Sunday down at the mall, one thing you can obviously expect is great music. And you have here all these wild and crazy musicians, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Third Day, Jackie Velasquez, Yuri, who's the Latin Church are very excited about coming, Toby Mack, CC Winans, Cutlass, Jump 5, Israel New Breed, and quite a number more. Poor Dad, you know, Dad's been involved with Unified Outreaches for over 50 years internationally, primarily having stolen shamelessly Billy Graham's model of the crusade, which I think the last one in D.C. was here in 1986. How many of you involved with the Billy Graham crusade in 1986 that was here at RFK? A good number of you, and in the last service also a good number. But really nothing new under the sun, but poor Dad, in order to really reach this generation, we've made some changes, not all of which was he too pleased about, especially the music. No offense to these fine musicians, but Dad always says, you think I like this music? You must be crazy. I can't understand the words, but I love the kids who love the music, and that's why we do it. And it's wonderful to see Dad's heart to really make those hard changes in his model that he was so comfortable with in order to reach this generation. But so great music is a big part of it. And as you look here, you see this crazy writing that says Live In It. And Live In It is a world-class 10,000 square foot skate park that we will build right on the National Mall. And we will bring in the top national street style skateboarders and BMX bikers, and they'll come and they will throughout the day do these demonstrations. And every once in a while they'll stop. One of the skateboarders, all your favorites will be there: Jamie Thomas, Lance Mountain, Richard Mulder, and I know you all have your Thrasher magazine by your bedside table, so I'm preaching to the choir here, but believe me, the hardcore skaters and a lot of the kids in our community today, they know who those guys are. And they will come regardless of anything else that's going on just to see those guys. And the wonderful thing about these people is, even in that harsh and difficult environment, they are faithful to God. They have been changed by the power of God, and they will testify to that. So they'll stop their demonstration. They'll say, hey, everybody, I want to tell you something. I love you all. I love skateboarding, but the most important thing in my life is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about him. And they'll share the good news and their testimony. And hundreds of kids will come right onto the park several times throughout the day to receive the Lord, and we'll all be there to receive them and counsel them in their steps forward in their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. So that's different, isn't it? There'll be multiple proclamations throughout the day in the skate park. Dad will have his time on the main stage. You can believe that. There'll also be the VeggieTales children's area with all kinds of things there in the children's area, as you can imagine. And Bob and Larry will be on a side stage, and they'll jump up periodically. You know the VeggieTales, right? And they'll sing, Where Is My Hairbrush? And all the deep theological implications of that will be drawn out. And what's our friend's name? We have a great child evangelist who comes, and he will follow up, having drawn the kids to this area, and he will give the gospel, and hundreds of children will come and receive the Lord. And again, we'll have counselors prepared. Also, one-on-one moments by the hundreds in the crafts area and with the face painting, with the wordless book. So we often see hundreds of children receiving the Lord in one-on-one moments. So lots of things happening throughout the day so you can bring out the neighborhood. We'll have a sports zone using professional athletes and the pro sports teams as well. And so you can see these areas throughout the day going on. Later on, the music starts up. Dad has his message, and you can sort of get a picture of what we're talking about. Operation Compassion is a social action piece that is a strong part of the festival. It's begun now. And we'll really spotlight some things during the festival. A food drive. We will do on-site services with medical checkups and all sorts of things there on-site, as well as a schools program connecting churches, primarily in Southeast, with the principals of 12 schools that this consortium has identified. I know the mayor's religious task force and Mayor Williams is involved, the school council down there, and a number of ministries, about 50, that are coming together to really make a difference. So you might want to get involved with that and find out more about that. All of the things down there will be free, no tickets, no offering will be taken. We're trying to eliminate and pull down any barriers from our friends coming down there in the first place, or hopefully they'll be encouraged and excited to come down there with these elements, and once they're there, to pull down the barriers of things that might distract them from hearing that message when it comes. So we're doing that. We'll purchase a massive advertising campaign, and that'll help us to get a little recognition before we make our invitations and increase the likelihood that people will say yes when they know a little bit about it. But anyone can buy a big ad campaign, so we're really asking you to consider putting a bumper sticker on your car and a yard sign even when they come, because when people get actively involved, it makes a difference, and the media begins to take notice, and it becomes an important thing. I'm not really a bumper sticker guy, but you all look like bumper sticker people, so go for it. Take two, one for each car and one for your boat and whatever, what have you. And they're in the back. And that's an important part. But we're bringing the same event that brought nearly a million people to Buenos Aires. You see that photo there in the blue. There's Beach Fest in Fort Lauderdale, where I last lived. 300,000 people over 2 days on the beach. 600,000 people in Lima. 200,000 on the steps of the state capitol in Minneapolis and St. Paul. You see that there. Pray for Dad. He is in Madrid, Spain. They will be having the next festival is in Madrid at the Plaza del Toros on the 24th and 25th. And so This is, hopefully that will give you a picture, and there's much, much more we could talk about, but there's a picture of the things that are happening, that catalytic moment, October 8th and 9th. One thing, at the risk of confusing you, I don't want to do that, but there's more. Many of you perhaps will be gone on the 8th and 9th, or perhaps like Dad, you and your friends may not want to be up there in the mosh pit jumping around with Jump 5, and you'd say, well, that's great, but what is there for me? We've identified some affinity groups and some leadership that are going to help us. The 2 weeks before the festival, there will be a good number of affinity-focused outreach luncheons and teas. And I'll just fly through them and you can get more details, but we're working with the Senate members and spouses, House members and spouses, some activities for the staff on the Hill. In the days beforehand, we'll have a business and civic leadership lunch with 1,000 or more men and women gathering for a luncheon. And that can be an excuse for anybody to bring friends, buy tables, host a table with a friend, and fill it with people that need to hear the good news. We'll have a ladies' tea, and I'd love to see this church hosting maybe a dozen tables, and we can see 1,000 or 2,000 women gather together, and we see a great percentage of those who come to these meals make a decision for the Lord. We'll have something for the Diplomatic Corps and a great number of military events at the Pentagon, also out at the Naval Academy with John Dalton, the 70th Secretary of the Navy, as our chairman. You better believe we're doing something out at the Naval Academy. We're actually doing a few things because he's excited about that, and so are we. So that's kind of the picture of it in a nutshell. And I hope that you're excited and you're beginning to think of the festival and the miracles that could happen. And this is what we'd really like you to do. There's a lot of things you can do. We'd love to help. We'd love your help financially because we have a big budget to raise. We'd love for you to volunteer. Please be a counselor. Come to the trainings that are on the back. We'll continue to promote those in the days ahead. And that's all great. But there's one thing we would like everybody to do. And before you get involved with anything else, please make your commitment to this. This card is prepared. And again, nothing new under the sun. This is your prayer card. And you've probably seen this before. But this part you keep and you hold on to. This part you tear in half. And if you could even do this today, we'd love to collect this part so we can stay in touch with you. You can consider areas of volunteering. This is our primary way of gathering volunteers. We'll send you a one-hour DVD from Fort Lauderdale so you can further understand what's going to happen down there. But hand that in with the offering. That's great. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. Though we need that. What I wanted to talk about is this prayer card. Because this is where the rubber hits the road on the festival. There's Dad, and it says, let's share our faith with those who need Jesus Christ. List 5 names below. Pray for them and bring them to the festival. Miracles happen when we ask God to move in the lives of individuals. And I really believe that's true. We've seen it happen thousands and thousands of times. So would you put names on here? Put this on your fridge or in your Bible, whichever one you open up the most. I'm sure here it's National Presbyterian Church. It's your Bible, so put it in your Bible. But take advantage of this tool. It's just a reminder of a commitment that you would make to faithfully pray for your friends and introduce them to Jesus. And don't forget this tool of the festival as a great way to do that. But we're challenging people to be renewed in their activity in sharing their faith. And that's our message. And I love this card. Not the card, but, you know, it's just but what it represents. Because it is the story of my life, and I'm 39 years old. I guess I can tell you that. I'm 39 years old. I was born and raised in a great Christian family. My parents were doing this activity all along as I grew up. My parents were practiced what they preached in as much as is humanly possible. And my church was a great church like this, and the youth leadership really sacrificed a lot on our behalf to share with us the good news. But despite all those blessings in my life, I just foolishly went my own direction. And from the youngest of ages, 10, 11, 12 years old, really got involved with partying, the partying lifestyle that is so prevalent around us today, isn't it? And alcohol was a major part, even in those young days, of what I thought was great and what I invested my life in, partying, my friends. Marijuana is the number one cash crop in the state of Oregon. So really, you know, we were smoking dope daily, practically for years, all through junior high and high school and all kinds of other drug activity. And as I went off to the University of Oregon, you might imagine outside of the constraints of home, all of the relational activities that we were engaged in, very shameful and hurtful and very damaging to myself and to others, and hurtful to the Lord, of course, and really breaking my parents' heart. And as those, I just sort of jumped over about a 18 or 19 year period there. Over those years, my parents just watching me, recognizing what's going on, brokenhearted, and saying, "Oh God, what can we do with this child?" I know they wanted to wring my neck, but fortunately, they didn't strangle me. But they did do something, the most important thing, and they faithfully prayed for me. They made a commitment. They said, "God, if anything good is going to happen in this child's life, it's going to have to be you. So please move in his life." And they faithfully prayed. They had hundreds of people praying for me. Dad had a sermon he's preached for years called "God Has No Grandchildren." And that's the fact of the matter. God does not have grandchildren, does he? He only has children. We each can become a child of God, and it's a personal decision that we make, and it's a personal relationship we have. And they knew that only too well. And unfortunately, I made them live it out, and they just prayed, "God, have mercy on this boy." And they didn't just pray, though. They also acted, and periodically, lovingly, Dad would share the good news with me. He knew that the power was there in the gospel message. That power for a transformed life was in that message. So he was faithful to share it to me. And when I was young enough, and he would get his hands around me and say, "Son, let's go for a walk." And I'd be thinking, "Oh no, not the walk, you know. I don't want to go. I know what's coming." And he'd get me up early and go out and walk around, and he'd say, "Son, we're proud of you, we love you, but we see you're looking for life in this direction, and God offers life and life in abundance." And then he'd give me the gospel message about what Christ had done on my behalf if I would just accept it. And you know, I'd just sit there and just foolishly reject it. And I just breaks my heart to think about that. I got 6 and 8 year old boys, you know, and I think, "Oh God, have mercy on me, don't let them do to me what I did to my parents." But, you know, I know that I have to pray for them, and they have their decisions to make. But I rejected it, I'm so sad to say, and just went along my life. And he would write me letters. So at the university, I'd get, on the letter table at the fraternity, get the letter, same old thing, rejected. And they would sick campus crusade guys on me. They would, what else? The dad board members were faithful periodically to show up at my work and say, "Hey, let's go to lunch." And I'm thinking, "Oh no, here we go, you know. Who's on the throne of your life at Denny's, you know, and the napkin?" And it's just, people were faithful, trying to, and I just am so humbled to think of the investment that people made. And people ask me to do things like that with their children periodically, and then, "No, I don't really want to do it because I think of that poor kid, you know." But I do it because I am so grateful that people did it for me. They risked that relationship, and they did the awkward things because they knew that they weren't ashamed, and they knew that there would be power there. And I am so grateful in God's time that he had mercy on me. And I was living in Boston, ultimately, 27 years old, and Dad called me. And all credit to Mom and Dad. We had a good relationship because of their love for me. And he said, "Son, I hear you have vacation time," and I don't know how he knew everything about me, but he did. And vacation. "Why don't you come out to we're having a festival, and we thought you might want to come." I'm thinking, not my day of a vacation, Dad. Thanks anyway. Been to a few festivals, but this one happened to be in Kingston, Jamaica. So I said, "Well, maybe I can work something out. It's February in Boston, and I'm freezing myself to death." So I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, maybe I can work something out." So I'm thinking red stripe beer, on the beach, go fishing, get some sun, and I know how to handle this Christian thing. And I love my folks, they're great, so this would be great. So I go out there. I knew that Dad knew that I knew what was going on, but I just figured I'd work. God had different plans for me. And as I went out there, so many things along the way you can point to as evidence that it's just God working and preparing a heart, right? Don't have time to go into all of those wonderful things. But ultimately, I was there, Kingston National Stadium. God's people had sacrificed much to put something together, to put a tool into the hands of my parents so they could do exactly what we're asking you to do today. And by God's mercy, he allowed me at that time, through the preaching of the word and the testimony of God's people, to see that there was something keeping me from God, and it was the sin in my life. And I saw it. He was merciful to allow me to see it. And I was horrified at what I saw. And I just repented. I wept. And I, I said, God, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? And he just cleaned me out like he promises to do and made me white as snow. And it was a radical, 180-degree turnaround in my life. And it was powerful. And I'm so thankful that God did not give up on me, and that neither did my parents. And that is really my challenge to you today. I love to share that in the context of the festival because it helps something like this that can appear to be just another sort of gimmicky tool to help us to get excited to go out to this thing. Well, don't think of it like that. If you're thinking of it like that, just forget about it. You know, think about it like this, that God wants to use you, as strange and as miraculous as it is. We know it's His work, but somehow He wants us to be involved. And so pray for your friends and introduce them to the Lord. And when you think about this card, ask God to show you who you should invite. Ask God to move in the lives of even the toughest nuts to crack. I mean, nobody could have thought, there's no evidence in my life that something was about to happen. So you never know. You faithfully plant the seeds and God will make it grow and bring it to fruition. But when He speaks, believe that He will do something. Because you can believe that God wants to do miracles in people's lives. Look at you and me. If you do it in us, why not in those people? And I was just thinking of that in John 2. As last thing I read last night was that Mary was giving that strong sermon, just a one-liner, at the wedding in Cana. And He told the servants, whatever He tells you to do, do it. And you'll see God do some very spectacular things. And we'll rejoice together. Maybe we can gather together somehow and share testimony as to what God has done as we come together to lift high the name of Jesus Christ and His Word and preach the gospel as we should. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we commit ourselves to You afresh, Lord. Give us faith so that we would believe. And Lord, we would long to see many thousands of people come to Christ, and we would long to see our family members, our friends, our co-workers come to confess You and grow in You and have life and life in abundance, Lord. So we just ask You to do those things. Help us to believe and help us to laugh joyously as we expect You to do these things. And we'll give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.